The cost of daily discipleship. I will not sacrifice to the Lord burnt offerings that cost me nothing. 2 Samuel 24:24. Being Christ's follower on a daily, moment-by-moment basis is the most rewarding way to live. In fact, it's the lifestyle for which we were each created. But it's not always easy. It will cost us something. Most of us have not counted the cost of being committed to Christ in a way that affects our lives very deeply in our families, our friendships, our work, or even our churches. Jesus addressed this issue in Luke 14:28 through 33. Suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Will he not first sit down and estimate the cost to see if he has enough money to complete it? For if he lays the foundation and is not able to finish it, everyone who sees it will ridicule him, saying, "This fellow began to build and was not able to finish." Or suppose a king is about to go to war against another king. Will he not first sit down and consider whether he is able with 10,000 men to oppose the one coming against him with 20,000? If he is not able, he will send a delegation while the other is still a long way off and will ask for terms of peace. In the same way, any of you who does not give up everything he has cannot be my disciple. The pursuit of the disciple's life almost always strikes a blow to our self-centered habits. Are we willing to give up our own agendas and let God have his way with us? How about you? Have you ever let the behavior of others deter you from pursuing the disciple's life? Have you counted the cost of being Christ's disciple? In the Gospels, we read of Martha, a woman who was so focused on the things she should be doing with her time that she failed to allow Christ to minister to her and work in her life. Jesus spoke to her and tried to help her understand that the life he wanted for her wasn't one consumed by the many things of life. He wanted her to see that all those busy responsibilities weren't as important as simply being in his presence. Adrienne Boyd is a church-going woman, much like many women today, who has found herself needing to take time to intentionally not be like Martha. She says, "There are many women who I know, some I'm in Bible study with, who never seem to count the cost of being a disciple of Christ. I've had to make sure that my real work, or any other activity that might distract me from growing closer to Christ, is kept in the proper perspective. I mean, who am I really trying to impress by having a tidy house or a together life? God or people? If I get myself too busy to study my Bible, notice my husband, or simply call a friend, then I'm missing the point. What should I do?" But when we talk about counting the cost in relation to our lives as daily disciples, we don't mean that Christ's followers need to be ruled by legalism. We want God's Holy Spirit to control our lives, not a whole list of shoulds and shouldn'ts. In the body of Christ, you can always find someone willing to tell you a version of this statement: "You should do more, read more, evangelize more, go to church more, and so on." Is the disciple's life more of the same song? Or just possibly, could it be different? Yes. God has given us a wonderful opportunity to have a closer relationship with Him, an opportunity to be more like Jesus Christ. This isn't one more thing we should do in order to somehow prove our worth, one more thing to consume our already busy lives. Instead, this is something that enriches our lives. We benefit. Does that mean we might have to do something different than what we would normally? Most likely. That's where the cost comes in. Yet I believe, and I think it will become clear through this book, that the disciple's life is for our own good. We're missing out on soothing medicine for our soul when we don't pursue it. As we read in Luke, most of us have not counted the cost of this medicine. I'm not saying, however, that walking in relationship with Christ is something we can earn, something we can buy with our good behavior. No, grace is free. But to get from immaturity to maturity in the Christian life, I believe Christ must increase in our lives and we must decrease. See John 3:30. We must actively pursue God's heart and will. Too busy not to be discipled. Some people may say to me, I hear what you're saying. I want to grow in Christ, but I just don't think I have the time to invest in this. This is one excuse that's so common in our American culture. It's the most common excuse I hear when I challenge others. But truly, the lack of time is not the real issue. The real issue is your use of time. As disciples, we use our time more effectively. If we are following in Christ's footsteps, what we do really counts for something. The disciples' life also happens to be exciting. I've been created, you have been created and put on this earth to do something for the cause of God's kingdom. As Christians, we have been given a purpose. We already have a direction, a mandate to pursue. This should be fuel for our souls to motivate us to press on. See Philippians 4:14. Together, we encourage and inspire each other to keep growing personally, building the kingdom together. In Ephesians 4:12, we find affirmation for the purpose of living a disciple's life, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. As Jack Hayford has observed, there is nothing more fundamental to the teaching of Jesus Christ than that you can never make it alone. We need each other on this journey. But like any journey, you have to first set out on your trip. If you never begin, you'll never reach your destination. The narrow road found only by a few. How do we begin this journey? By accepting Christ into our lives and our hearts. There are men and women who make a lot of money, and from a worldly, physical standpoint, they look very successful. Many of them, in reality, have had two or three divorces, or perhaps their kids are on drugs. They might be making millions, but they have made no spiritual impact on the lives of others. They don't know the abundant life. People like this would give anything to have real peace, the peace which transcends all understanding. See Philippians 4:7. The problem is they usually go about finding peace incorrectly. Only peace and joy in the Lord Jesus Christ brings the abundant life. See John 10:10. There is no other way. See John 14:6. Once you receive Christ, you receive the Spirit of God in you. As soon as you receive Him, you are a new creation. See 2 Corinthians 5:17. A different person. Your emotions and feelings do not determine whether or not you are a different person. You are. That's a promise of God. God didn't send His only Son to die for your sins, nor did the Son of God rise from the dead so that you could say, I'm not a new creation. I don't really have a new life because I do not feel like it. He gave you an opportunity for a new life, the life of a disciple, the disciple's life. At what point are you today? Are you experiencing the abundant life? You can experience this life. We can get there together. Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate, and narrow is the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Jesus Christ in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 7, verses 13 and 14.